Welcome to Cabot Coverage, the podcast where three sisters and a beloved family friend discuss the crime-solving adventures of mystery novelist Jessica Fletcher on Murder, She Wrote. I'm Susanna.
I'm Megan.
I'm Glynis.
And I'm Ashley.
And this week we're discussing Deadeye, which is episode 13 from season 9 and originally aired on the 7th of February, 1993. Now, our writer for this episode is Tom Sawyer, who has written 24 episodes. And the episodes we've watched by him are Broadway Malady, Joshua Peabody Died Here Possibly, No Laughing Murder, The Family Jewels, Programmed for Murder, and Evidence of Malice.
Yeah.
There you go.
He's the guy, right, that always puts something gross in.
Yeah. And I have thoughts on that for this one.
I have one thought I thought would. Anyhow.
So, you know how we were talking before, sometimes where the plot's kind of convoluted and it's a little bit tricky to describe to somebody else? This might be one of those episodes.
100%. I told Megan that this plot was ambitious.
That is,
it felt ambitious.
Yeah, because I'm sure what the world was waiting for was Murder, She Wrote's take on the JFK assassination.
Oh no, so Murder, She Wrote doesn't solve the JFK assassination mystery. But I mean, it can, you know, all the theories and stuff. I just feel like we knew we were in trouble when in the opening 5 minutes, they're like, Miami, Denver, Chicago, like all these locations. And I was like, this is bad.
Wait, I know it's not Coral Gables, but like, what was this other city in Florida?
It was Coral City, wasn't it?
Coral City. But Coral Gables, isn't that
something? And then someone lived on like Hopkins Island. Like
we really hopped around. You're right. I mean, to start,
it was a lot. I know you're just trying to give the synopsis, but yeah.
It was, I mean, there were parts of it that I'm like, thank God Susanna is doing the intro, because I don't know what happened.
Okay. So I'll try to keep this as brief as possible. So the episode starts with a flashback to a black and white image of people in a bar watching on the news about Lee Harvey Oswald getting shot by Jack Ruby after the JFK assassination. So Lee Harvey Oswald allegedly assassinated JFK. There's a lot of conspiracy theories about this. Anyways, so out of the bar walks Bernie Callen, played by Kevin Quigley. He is met by someone we don't see, and he's obviously exchanging something for money, which we later find out are negatives, and he is shot and killed. Fast forward 30 years, and his body has been unearthed in Coral City, and the police in charge of that is Police Chief Thurman Gillis, played by Ben Masters. Jessica is in Florida for a writer's conference, and she happens upon Laura Callen, played by Linda Pearl, who has come to Coral City because Bernie Callen was her father, and her room has been upended for whatever reason, and it's all very confusing and all that stuff. And also entering the scene is private investigator Charlie Garrett, played by Wayne Rogers. Now, Charlie and Bernie used to know each other, and it turns out that Charlie actually had the negatives that Bernie was trying to sell, but he didn't necessarily, I guess, totally understand what they were. But now that Bernie's body's been found, he doesn't realize that Bernie's been murdered. He's just come to collect on a debt that Bernie owes him. So these three people are now in Coral City, and they all have various reasons to be there. And around this are these negatives, which, as it turns out, they are photographs of Lee Harvey Oswald with a local crime boss called Santo Angelini, played by Al Ruscio. Now, I'm not sure we ever get to the bottom of what that means, or all we see is Lee Harvey Oswald with a big old gun in this photo in the background of some other investigation that Bernie was doing. So there's a lot of the mobster trying to get a hold of the negatives. He keeps upending hotel rooms. He then beats lots of people up. He steals them. He has a guy working for him called Frank Hemmett, played by Lonnie Chapman. It turns out that Hemmett is actually the one that shot Bernie Callan on the order of Santo Angelini. And then Frank is found shot in his car. So now we have two murders, the one from many years ago, Bernie Callan, and the current one, Frank Hemmett. Also involved in this is FBI agent Whitman, played by Julian Christopher, because he was brought in by Jessica when they had these photographs of the JFK assassination. Also there, for some reason, is Dr. Abner Farrow, played by Stuart Moss, who is ill.
Yeah, what was, okay. You know what? Okay, I'll let you finish. I'm sorry.
He's a friend of the police, and he also is an expert in this, the JFK assassination.
As you're going through it, I'm like, writing a version of a Robert Altman movie, because my lord.
It is. So, honestly, Susanna, now you're going to clear things up, but it's like, now
I forgot about that. Reminding me of
things that I had forgotten about, such as Abner Farrow.
So it's all this convoluted stuff around the JFK assassination and these pictures and whether the pictures are important. And then Laura is kidnapped by Santo Angelini's men, or man, really. And in the process of saving her, they lose the negatives. And that's, you know, all very sad. But it turns out that the negatives and the JFK assassination were essentially just sort of a red herring for what ended up just being a crime of vengeance, because it turns out that Laura had actually killed Frank because he'd murdered her father. And, you know, and that was why, even though Frank had killed Bernie basically for the negatives and all that sort of stuff, she had killed him because he'd killed her dad. So there aren't any fun facts listed on IMDb, but the lone fun fact probably of this episode is that this is the introduction to Charlie Garrett, who goes on to appear in four more episodes of Murder, She Wrote. In this episode, he's a little bit kind of creepy, I guess, a little bit. I don't know. There's something just seems not right about him. In later ones, he's more of a lovable goof. So I'm not sure why we start at this level with him. But yeah, anyways.
Because here was my question. I found that, this is a weird note to start on, but I found the interaction between him and Linda Pearl in the hotel room really weird, where he says, oh, I don't need that $3,000. I've just picked up a big new client. Did he know she was bad at that point?
No. So he was planning on using the negatives to blackmail Santo Angelini when they arrived at Jessica's. But he was sort of doing a wink, wink, because he knew he'd sent them to Jessica and he knew they would be arriving sort of momentarily. And what I guess when you're rewatching it, what you realize is what's weird about it isn't his energy, it's her energy. Because at this point, she's already killed Frank. And I think she's worried that Charlie might be on to her. And so I don't think you're meant to think he's like with it enough to suspect her like that. But that's just my opinion. I mean, I'm happy to be, if someone else feels differently about that, I'm not sure.
Got it.
So yeah, it's because you're right. Because she's being like, oh, why are you sort of like here with me and my, you know what I mean? Like, what are you doing here? Kind of a thing.
It was weird. It was like, oh, I'm not going to, don't worry, I don't need your money. But it was like, I don't know. I like Charlie a lot. Like I think he's a fun character, and I'm glad we started with his first introduction, but it's true. This isn't his like finest work. It's also a really confusing episode.
And also what does dead eye mean?
Oh, a dead PI. Yeah, like,
what is that reference to?
I thought maybe like a dead eye, like a shot. Like if you're shooting someone and I thought it might be slang for that. If you're snipering somebody. Oh God, that's all a bit grim. Sorry.
I don't know.
Also, when did he mail the negatives to Jessica?
There's a lot there that's
really confusing. Glynis said, do we think Charlie and Linda Pearl are gonna hook up? I was like, but she, like, he was a friend of her dad's. Like, I'm not sure that's
things that happen.
I thought she was with that guy back in Denver.
Actually, that guy looked about as old as Charlie Garrett, so I don't know what I'm talking about.
I mean, so they kept calling her dad. It was Bernard Philip Cowan. And I was watching with subtitles just to like make sure I didn't miss anything, but they kept saying Philippe. Like the subtitle was spelled out
Philippe. Ooh, Philippe.
And I mean, this episode is just Abner Farrow is like a tough.
Well, it's just such a random character who comes in and he's like a JFK assassination expert and he has like this vested interest in this book.
And like, what time did Jessica have to go to the library, figure out that he's been working on this book for 20 years and that like he is basically wrong in sort of the narrative that this plays out in? And didn't she only just get there?
Well, and also, like, she's implying that he's trying to lead them down the wrong path, like, that purposefully trying to because that works for his theory. But you're right, Glennis, like, when would she have found out about his history? And, like, also, he's basically, like, the, like, the upside-down version of Jessica, isn't he? Because he's a writer hanging out with the police to help solve crimes. Only he's doing it out of a sense of sort of selfishness,
right?
Where Jessica isn't. So he's such a, and he's hardly in it. It's like, why even introduce this character? He's not even a suspect.
So unnecessary. And it was like, and also, I mean, if he'd been working on this book and he was like, you know, they're saying that it's going to be like millions in revenue. I'm like, it isn't.
right. Like a academic book on history.
Like, I mean, I don't know much about like sort of academic writing at all, but like surely it wouldn't double down so hard on like one avenue that it wouldn't leave an option open for another avenue, and then doing that or like another, you know, theory coming out would then completely destroy and discredit that piece of work.
It does seem like a historian would probably leave a little bit of room for error.
Like just call out the facts and then, I don't know. Again, we're spending too much time on someone who's barely in it.
He was a weird character. I mean, it's such a shame that you spent so much time talking about the, like also, I guess is the implication from the picture that this kind of low-level Florida mobster had paid Lee Harvey Oswald to shoot, to assassinate the president. Yeah. I mean, what is his motive? Like, I'm not sure. I totally.
Right. And that's like, just, there's too many stories.
Yeah, because the photos don't really prove anything. They just like are weird. Like, it's just like, oh, that is weird that person is in a photo with, and also it's like, it's a photo of a man and a woman walking in the foreground through a park with a man with a huge shotgun stood right behind them talking to some other guy. It's like, that is startling.
Although I will say, I felt like this was better photoshopping than I can do.
Oh my God, yeah, the photoshopping was good.
No, you can do better.
I don't think so.
I think you can. You can.
I was like, I'm not. I mean, this
no, because one head was like turned this way, yeah, but no, the body was like forward, and you're just like,
it was bad. Their photoshopping was bad, but like, I was like, oh, I'm also really bad at photoshopping.
It was like a giant head on like a tiny body.
Yeah. Also, I love the decor in the room of the hotel. I mean, it got trashed, which is like disrespectful, but it reminded me of Golden Girls. So I very much enjoyed that decor.
Pink cushions and rattan furniture.
Yeah, the palm fronds. I mean, her room got really trashed.
There were trashed rooms like every commercial break. They're like, my room got trashed too.
And it's like she has her door wide open. So of course Jessica's eavesdropping.
Didn't Jessica's room get trashed too?
Yeah, later it did.
Yeah.
And
then
the motel clerk got beat up. That was like,
Terry, the motel guy.
Oh my God. I loved Terry.
Terry was the real star of this episode.
What did he say?
He said, Stop this.
He goes, Mr. Garrett, what is this? I got a drunk and disorderly for you.
This is Terry Portman here.
And also when he's on the ground and he's been hit in the head and he's bleeding, like three people see him before one of them goes to help him.
Right. This isn't so, like, she, like, yeah, Laura's looking at him like, ah!
Yeah.
Like, this man's lying on the floor bleeding from the head. I mean, so let's go back to the fight that Terry. So Terry is, I believe, the motel manager slash maid slash Glenn is referred to him as a custodian. So he, after he's cleaning a room, he walks in on Charlie getting beaten up by a septuagenarian.
Right.
Frank Abbott, who had, and his response is like, because he's breaking up two older men fighting each other. Stop this. And it is literally, Glynis could not stop laughing.
I don't know why.
I need to, like, see, when I take pictures, I need to see if I can remember to, like, get the clip of that.
Because, like, this whole episode is so kind of, like, monotone and, like, it's just sort of, like things were happening and they felt serious, but then, like, they weren't serious, and then everyone was really jokey, and then everyone was just showing up in people's rooms, and, like, I don't know, it was just all very weird. Terry coming in with all this emotion. Even when Linda Pearl is talking about her father, who was like father of the year.
And right.
Like, he was the best father that I ever had. And he did no wrong. But every actor did it in this episode. And then you have Terry coming in. And he is stealing the show.
See, Terry only stood out to me as, like, getting bashed in the head. But now I'm like,
he played a pivotal role. He saved Charlie's life by going,
Stop this.
I don't even know what to say.
Oh my God, Glynis, that just reminds me of Dead Letter when the lady in that, Lois Frixie's talking about her made-up boyfriend.
Yeah.
He's strong but sensitive. That's like how Linda Pearl describes her dad in this episode, where she's like, he was warm and caring and the best father that ever lived. And you're like, oh, right, okay. Like, this all sounds familiar. Yeah.
I mean, I'm curious when you do Age Ain't Nothing But a Number, because, like, well, maybe we should add that to the beats. It's like made-up person, you know, like when they make, like, Lois Frixie's boyfriend like Linda Pearl's dad, because, like, also I'm not trying to be ageist, but, like, Mr. Hemet, like, am I afraid of him?
Well, that's what Glynis said. She was like, this, he's sending out this, like, quite elderly man to, like, he's not that elderly, but, like, fairly elderly to go be the muscle to, like, right, intimidate, like, all these
Howard
people.
Howard Keel in the casino episode, yeah. I get that. Howard Keel beating up Eddie is, like, one of my favorites, but it's like, this guy, no offense to him, it did feel like it would be, yeah, this is your enforcer. Also, no, I looked way up Hopkins Island, and it's a private island that you can buy.
Where? In Florida. Is that the private island that all the celebrities live on?
No, I think that's called Star Island.
Okay.
But this looks pretty nice.
Yeah, because we had Coral City. We had Dallas, is where obviously the shooting happened. We had Miami. She was in Denver. And then we're at Hopkins Bay. Gets mentioned a few times. I mean, this was... Glynis made me laugh out loud also, because when Charlie walks in to his, like, PI office, like, at the introduction to Charlie Garrett, the first scene we see him in, Glynis goes, sexy, can I?
Wait, for Charlie Garrett?
Yeah.
My note was, wow, I cannot imagine getting that dressed up for work.
I know, he's so dressed up.
Oh, I didn't know he was Trapper John.
He was? No, wait, he was?
Well, in MASH? Yeah.
He's a MASH. Right. Yes.
He's a MASH head.
He's a better MASHer. We should have a name for them when they come on
Murder A MASH Zero. Potato.
Yeah, MASH Potato. We call them Spuds.
Everyone but Radar and
he looks very handsome, so you know.
He is handsome, and also
he is handsome.
Glenn has said about Linda Pearl and him hooking up, I was like, you know what, that's not outside the realm of possibility.
No,
here,
he's
cute and he looks young. I think he looks younger than what
he was being very charming, so yeah.
And he looked good in that suit.
No, but I did laugh when he's like, I hope they find whoever whacked out your father. Sorry, it's not as bad as
what. Whoa, Megan. Hello.
Yeah.
Different kind of episode.
Children's program, Megan.
Whacked out your father, which I don't think that's right either. So sorry.
So no, this episode, it feels like, because the episode is so, like, unusually paced, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
Glynis and I, when we were watching it, and I'm sure this is the same for you too as well, we were just like honing in on the weirdest bits, like Terry, obviously, is Terry, like the star of the episode.
I missed this.
Stop this.
Terry bits. I know. The other thing, the scene that I thought was kind of funny but like wild was when she gets pushed into the water.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that was and he jumps in to save her.
Yeah, because she's handcuffed, right?
Her hands are tied by a very loose rope, but and also Linda Pearl is teeny tiny, so I bet she just slipped her hands right off. But no, yeah, he had to, because she would have drowned.
Also, I was telling Ashley, according to Instagram, she and Patrick Duffy are going strong. It's looking good. I'm very excited.
I have a real vested interest in that relationship working out. Come on, guys. This can't just be a COVID thing.
Wait, yep. Him and Linda Pearl?
No, Patrick Duffy, who I don't think was ever in a Murder Show, but he was in Dallas.
Cute.
And he's the dad from Step by Step.
I'm already on
his
page. And they were the only good part of a movie I watched called Doomsday Mom. Just FYI.
Starring our girl Frankie Drake.
Yeah, Frankie Drake's in it.
I can't think of how it goes now. Now I just have the Southern Charm song stuck in my head.
That's exactly what was in it.
That's not how Frankie Drake goes, but it sounds a lot like that.
Yeah. I don't know. That's what it sounded like to me on my end.
I do like that Jessica in that scene with the water is like, you know what? Yeah, those negatives might be important. I am not jumping in that water.
Right.
But you think something like a matter of like national security like implore her to jump in?
She's like, this skirt suit is dry clean only, Melanie. I'm jumping in that water.
Like shrugs. I'm just like,
yeah. She's like, whoopsies, I can't do it. Like,
no thanks.
Well, and like the whole stuff too with like the FBI agent, like I know they had to involve them, but like just felt very loose, I'd say.
Yeah, right. I mean,
they introduced that FBI agent just so Jessica can bully him.
I think they should have just left the JFK thing out of it and be just that this is a cop.
What? Simplify it?
Yeah.
No,
100%.
And now when I rewatch to take the pictures, I'm going to have to really have a lookout for Terry.
I mean,
sounds like he's the real star of the show.
He has big old glasses on. He's terrific.
His big old glasses, he's like pastel striped button up. I'd watch it again just for him.
Okay.
Even though I didn't particularly care for this.
I mean, now that we're talking about it, it's like, it is like funny and more funny than I like remembered. I mean, there are parts of it that I like, but it is just like a really wild episode.
Well, and there's a lot of like really, really particular pieces of evidence where it's like, how would we ever keep track of that? Like, she's like, that fax said retransmission, which means it had already been sent, which I think it means it got sent to your room, Linda Pearl. I was like, wait, what? I literally have not followed like any of that. And so I think also, because the mobster just adds this other element of like,
right, like that seems unnecessary.
Well, I'm like, the cops' vested interest in a case that presumably, like, he wasn't a cop even for. I mean, I know, again, like, it's sort of tied to JFK and whatnot, but, like, he is so amped for this case. He's like, and then we discovered this person's body, and this is why we need you, and blah, 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 blah. I was like,
I can tell this is going to be in one of Glynis's top favorites.
It is just a weird one. Sorry, make it club.
No, I was just going to say, I would like to give a shout out to the, I mean, I like the chief, the police chief.
Yeah, Julian from Passions.
I was like, oh, it's Julian Crane. And I'm like, I can't remember anything, but I was like, oh yeah, I can remember the name of his character on Passions.
Wasn't he British?
Was he? Okay, that one I'm not sure.
No, not
Passions
no,
was
not
a
sure.
Wild show.
He gives me a little bit of like a Bob Coulet. Like Robert Coulet. Is it Robert Coulet?
Yeah. I could see that.
Like a Clooney kind of. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I liked him.
Yeah, but Jessica didn't. And why did Jessica not like him?
Oh, he didn't like her books.
He said they were too messy.
Yeah, they didn't have a clean enough ending.
And Jessica's like, girl, you're too messy.
Yeah. Well, she burns him at one point and is like, I know it doesn't have the clean ending you want or something like that.
Yeah, she's mean to him about it, which is funny. It's like she's really let it go that she brings it up like days later. She's like, ha, remember that joke you made about not liking my book because they're too messy? I've totally gotten over it.
Also, I love in Murder, She Wrote when she says stuff like, it's possible that I'm wrong. And you're like, you don't believe that.
Yeah, not for a second.
That's the craziest thing is she's saying that. Like, and also when she looks at Laura, she's like, maybe you've like kind of making this stuff up about your dad a little bit. It's like, oh my God, this poor woman. Like, you know, I mean, I understand that later we find out that she's murdered that other guy, but it's like, she, you know, it's like, that's a lot for someone you've just met to be like, could you be lying about this a little bit? You know, like maybe imagining it a little bit. It's just like, oh. Should we go through the beats?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, Thunder Weather, no. Sutra's Closet Hiding, no. Poisoning, Bludgeoning, we have a shooting of Bernie, a shooting of Frank.
Oh, Bernie was shot?
Yeah, in the stomach. Oh, no, yeah, they said there was like a chip missing from one of his bones.
Right, and his back was right, okay.
Car accident for Angelini, but maybe he...
Suicide?
Oh, no, they said...
No, it said that they saw brake lights. Suspecting
they thought Charlie had tampered with his stuff.
No, and then he said so they had suspected that he had tried to stop and then the brakes were tampered with.
But didn't they think Charlie had done it?
Why would Charlie kill Angelini?
That. Oh.
Well, who did they think had done it? Just another... Somebody was after him because
I thought someone else was after him, but I don't know who. Didn't he have a lot of enemies?
Yeah, it was Abner Farrow.
And he was saying he was going to fake his death at some point anyways, because he was trying to get away from whatever it was. Anyways, Abner Farrow. It's just a salt and pepper beard cutting the brake line. Phone wire cut, no. She's shaking, no.
I argue that her being pushed off the thing into the water was it was like a pretty...
Megan was like, what an epic she shake.
Yeah, I was like, that's more than a she shake, but it's, you know.
Okay. Window peep. I said Terry looking into the motel room when he goes to break up the fight.
Stop this.
So funny. Fake name ID, Desmond. Abner Farrow is actually Desmond Abner Farrow.
Oh, right.
We nailed him.
Oh, and he was in the, what do you call that?
The motorcade.
Yeah, he was in the,
I can't.
Like, this is so convoluted. There's so many characters and they all have too much going on. I need to pare it back. The fuzz-ass cop quirk, we have Gillis and he likes order. And I didn't register any cop chemistry, but I don't know how you feel about that.
No, I didn't see any.
No, but did you notice when he, he said he doesn't like a messy ending or things that like loose ends. That's why he doesn't like Jessica's books. But then that's how the episode ended, with a loose end.
You're right. Oh, Ashley.
Good call.
And this episode was messy. So messy.
One thing I retained, Susanna, the rest of it was like a blur of Coral City and Chicago. And
I mean, speaking of Coral City, every wall was painted coral as well. So right. Every room.
Commitment.
You're right. Businessy business, JFK assassination, and the mob.
Yep.
And book writing?
Yeah. Yeah, and academic research into 20 years of research into your book. And then you're going to lose your $1 million publishing deal.
Record deal.
Your record deal. God. Okay, age ain't nothing but a number. Santo Angelini was 69. Charlie Garrett was 60. Laura Callan was 38. Abner Farrow was 56. Police Chief Gillis was 46. Agent Whitman was 49. And Frank Hammett was 73. So, and there was an assistant manager and a motel manager. So I'm assuming it's the motel manager was Terry, because we don't actually get a name.
That's rough justice for Terry.
Rough justice. Terry.
And if that's who that was, the name's 34.
Okay.
Okay, the Jonathan scale. I mean, I guess you could kind of make an argument for Charlie, sort of. I think in this episode, about,
I thought you were gonna say Terry, and I was like, don't you dare.
I don't think it is much in this episode.
You think Terry's the motel manager?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
He was a Jonathan?
No, I'm saying.
I thought she was gonna say Terry, and I was about to get very upset.
I would never. Glynis would lose it on me.
I would say that I think you could make an argument for Charlie, but maybe not in this episode.
Yeah.
Although he does break into her hotel room. But
everyone does. Take a number. Everyone has broken into her hotel room.
It was the same hotel room, just tossed again.
I mean, that one guy, I can't remember what episode, is helps himself to a beer.
Oh God. Yeah. That guy. He was bad news. These days. No. Petite feet. No.
Oh, there was a foot. If I'm remembering correctly. And it was this person shot and they exited the vehicle and there was a close up of a white sneak coming out of the vehicle. And I thought,
oh, you're right.
Is like a quarter of a foot. So is it like a peh foot instead of like a petite, like a full petite foot?
Oh, right. Like you that. There's no teeth.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Megan, what is going on with you today? I don't.
We're all unraveling. It's fine. It's fine. Yeah.
This is the episode that everything's finally fine. Us in.
December 2021. Everything's fine.
Everything's great. We're on the brink of success.
Oh, honestly a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. Glamour shots. We have the article in the paper for Skeleton of Detective. So that is Bernie. Smooches. I mean, no, although this episode is so crazy, I believe this, like, a kiss between any character would have been made as much sense as anything else.
Yeah, fair enough.
The bloody hands, I thought this was the blood splatter in the car that they like panned in on the news, or the showing where Frank Hammond got shot.
Yeah.
Where it has that like little bit of blood on the back of the seat going down the side of the seat. Like,
yeah.
Why are they showing this? Like, why do we need to see where this man got shot? But does anybody else have any other gross thing that they noticed?
I mean, I thought the bump on the head was pretty gross.
No, poor Terry. Poor Terry.
It was just the car seat. Well, and it felt, I don't know. Yeah, like
not unneeded. Except we had to see the grease stains on the seatbelt to like then know that she got grease on her sweet, sweet blazer. But
right.
I feel like it's sad that they called Terry the motel manager in IMDb credits when he has a full name. He says Terry Pullman. Yeah,
That's rough. I mean, but it's like the federal marshal in that one. I think he had a name in it too.
If the author dude can get a full name, Terry deserved a little bit more.
Okay, justice for Terry.
familial ties, no. Eyes closed, head shake, no. Okay. Fave outfit, worst outfit.
All right, here we go.
Okay, let's see. Hold on.
Let's see here.
Oh, yes.
Megan, I'll do you want to? Oh, Ashley, you go.
I can go. I'm because I'm ready.
and I'm ready to hear it.
Yeah, Linda Pearl's oversized blazer and her floral or pattern top, and then like a high waisted pant and the necklace. She looked so good.
Mm-hmm,
she did. I loved it. And worse was the wet curly mullet from the henchman.
Oh, that was tough.
Oh, that was rough. Yeah,
with the facial hair, like none of it looked like, it looked like separate pieces that they put together, right? Like a ponytail and then the bangs and then whatever facial hair. It was like separate, not cohesive.
Yeah,
it was unsettling. That's all I got to say.
That was probably the most shocking part of this episode, is when they panned over from the booth in the diner. And that head of hair was, we were confronted with it. And genuinely, Glynis started laughing out loud. And I was like, because he turned. And not only did he have a half ponytail of like kind of long, wet curls, but then also there was a little singular curl, just like one of those angler fish at the bottom. Coming right down the front, which I liked. Okay, Megan.
Okay. Favorite was, I really liked Santo Angelini's smoking jacket. I thought that was great. I don't really think I had a word. I mean, the hair was really bad. But I didn't really have a worse other than that.
Okay. Glynis?
I really liked the one that Ashley described, because it was like a blue sort of silk florally top thing. That was really, really nice. I didn't care for her other oversized jacket outfit, which had like a sort of checkered top and then like a high-waisted mini skirt as well. And I thought that sort of the trousers and the oversized jacket worked well with the blue shirt, but the like checkered top that she had was like super billowy, and it just made her look like a triangle. And I didn't care for that.
Okay. Sorry. My favorite was, I really like Jessica's polka dot blue dress at the end. Uh-huh. And the very, very, very last scene. And I really like Charlie's three-piece suit. I thought he looked smart.
Yeah.
And my worst outfit, I'm kind of surprised Glynis didn't mention it, actually, was she made me pause it so she could look at a background character's dress, which she said looked terrible. And then I agreed with her and I put it as my worst outfit. And then she didn't mention it. So
I forgot to write that down. I did forget to write that down.
Okay, biggest hunk.
Wait, no, but describe the dress. So the dress was a purple cheetah print.
I'm already in. Go on. Is it metallic?
Like, it was a wrap, but then also sort of like a salsa type dress. And then her counterpart. Like
the cascading ruffles?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wait, what scene was this in?
What in the hotel scene? Someone walked in. Like,
non-scene. And then
I just want to make sure I like keep an eye out. Her
partner had a similar like billowy colorful top to is it Gene in Wet Hot American Summer when he is running off with Molly Shannon at the end, and sort of white pants and like a very brightly colored deep V top, color blocking, as some might say.
Okay, yeah, beautiful. Thank you.
Okay, Megan, did you take notes? Because we will be posting a photo of this.
I need to just like keep an eye out for this.
Yeah.
Who's your biggest hunk?
Me?
Yes.
Charlie.
Ashley?
Ooh, I was thinking Linda Pearl.
Okay.
Glennis? Or Chief Gillis.
Ooh, Gillis.
Ashley loved him.
I did. You know, I'm going to go Chief Gillis because I think Linda got a few likes for me in earlier episodes. So,
And I will say mine was Charlie Garrett. Now, I'm going to ask a secondary question, and I know it's inappropriate, and I know we don't have a lot of time. Do we think that there is a romantic thing going on between Jessica and Charlie Garrett?
No,
not really. I see it more with Harry.
See, I don't see it with Harry at all. And I don't really see it with Charlie either, but maybe you're right. Maybe more Harry than Charlie.
I didn't think anyone, in a shocking twist, like I didn't think anyone was trying to hit on her here.
No, not even Dr. Farrow.
I mean, Dr. Farrow, I don't know. We don't know.
Yeah, what his deal was. We don't know more of him. Yes. Okay. J.B. Burns. Who hasn't gone first yet? Glynis, do you have any J.B. Burns?
No, I wrote down very little notes. The only quote I wrote down was, oh my God, stop this. recounted for...
That was your note, is oh my God, stop this?
Yeah, I wrote that down.
Because that's what Terry says.
That's how Glynis felt about the
So that was Terry's quote. It was one of six notes that I wrote, two of which were outfits.
Got it.
And the other one was about the curly haired guy.
Okay. Megan, did you have any burns?
Yes. And also, sorry, I meant to say Jessica wore like a black suit in this episode that I really like, with a floral black and white shirt underneath. Anyhow, she's at their hotel with Linda Pearl, and they're like, she's like, oh, do you want a croissant? And she's like, this hotel breakfast is designed for people who haven't eaten in several weeks. Like, Jessica's not here for over like too much food.
But the funniest part about that is that plate of bread was like basically two entire loaves of bread. And it was like, why is there so much bread on the plate? Okay, Ashley, what about you?
I liked there. I don't know if they're really burns, but memorable quotes was the chief saying, "I don't like your books; they're too messy." And then when Charlie says that, Megan mentioned it before, but sure hope they find that guy that whacked out your father. And then that's it. I think Jessica was sassy with Dr. Farrow, but I didn't have the full line written down.
No, she basically called him a liar, but I can't remember what she said specifically. I did write down the line where Gillis said, oh, can't you see somebody liking this place? And Charlie says, no, not really. About Coral City.
That made me laugh also.
I mean, this episode, because now we're going on to fave guest stars of, this episode is so nuts that we haven't even touched upon the fact that Gillis is playing computer chess There's a restaurant called Cadillac Jack's, which I feel like we should have talked about. There was a giant gift basket in Jessica's room. There was so much bread on that plate that they like had to touch upon it, but then just were handing each other slices of bread. Dr. Farrow's reading over her shoulder and her room was bugged. All of those things happened in this episode. We haven't even talked about that. Okay. Favorite guest star? Ashley.
Linda Pearl.
Okay. Glynis?
Yeah. Linda Pearl, for sure.
Megan?
Linda Pearl.
Yeah, me too. I like Linda Pearl. This is our last one with her.
Really? We've done them all?
We've done them all. Murder at the Oasis. Sorry, what was the other one?
The Wisteria. With Morning Uncle among UJ. The Wisterias.
Yeah. She's a scene stealer, is Linda
yeah,
Pearl.
Yeah, I like her a lot.
And then, okay, next one is Glynis's guest. Glynis, who did you guess? Do you remember?
Charlie.
Yeah. I was going to say like a hint of like, maybe he's in more episodes. But she said she just wanted to guess. So
yeah, I was pretty, pretty over it.
At this point. Seems, oh my God. What is the line? Oh my God, make it stop this.
Yeah, that's what I'm just saying over and over. Oh my God, stop this. Well, it's like, unlike the last one we watched, like I was like, oh wow, like we're already at the like murder, but it had been 30 minutes. Like it was kind of blitzed by. This one, I was like, like no one's died yet.
Right.
You did say at one point, you said, when is this over? And I said, we have 20 more minutes. So that segues nicely into what we think Glynis gave this episode.
I think she gave a one.
Really as low as a one. I'm going to go two. What do you think, Ashley?
I'm going to stick with a three.
Okay.
I feel like it's really generous and I'm really sure it's not happening, but you know.
Glynis, what did you give this one?
The notepad wasn't working, but I gave it a two.
Okay.
Only for Terry.
Yeah. All right.
Terry's two scenes Stop gave it two this. Points.
Terry's scenes and Linda's outfits.
Yeah.
So we know what your favorite scene is then. It's of course Terry's moment in the
obviously
yeah. His moment to shine.
Ashley, what about you?
a four.
Oh, four. Right. Okay.
Yeah, that's me. I'm giving it a four. And that's the same rating I gave Dead Heat, but now I'm thinking Dead Heat's just like a hair.
I don't hate Dead Heat. I don't know what I gave it.
And I thought I did, and I'm rethinking my process now.
Yeah, like, I just think it's sad. It's like more sad. Like
okay, so what you guys are saying is that at the end of this, we go on for another year to redo the first couple.
Yeah, well, the thing with Dead Heat that is real tough is it does introduce a niece, a random niece, and those are always a real rough situation for these episodes. Okay, Ashley, so you gave it a four. Did you have a favorite moment?
I mean, no. I don't want to say Terry because I don't want to.
It's okay if it's Terry.
It's scary and it's them stumbling upon a ransacked room once again.
yeah.
Just top rattan furniture all over the place.
Okay, Megan, how many points do you give this one?
I'll give it six. I don't hate this episode. I mean, it's very confusing and Dr. Farrell, I don't know what that's about. And I like the part where she gets pushed into the water. It's look, I like a pushing out of or off of something. And yeah. Sure.
Okay. Sorry, Ashley, were you going to say something?
I was just going to say that the ransacked rooms are representative of the plot of this episode all over the place.
Yeah. Just furniture in the air, cushions being shredded,
random items about.
I like that they just knocked over one of Jessica's benches. Like they weren't even looking for anything in there. They're just like, on the floor. I'm gonna give this one, you know, I think I'm gonna give it a 5. I don't dislike this episode. I think it's because of all the back and forth, you do kind of check out a little bit, and it can be a little bit boring. I think that is the trouble with this one, which is weird because it's about this really big deal thing. But I really like Charlie Garrett and I like Wayne Rogers. So I think I'll give it a point, extra points for that. My fave moment, I guess it's Stop This. I mean, what else could it possibly be? I don't know. There's like another.
Well, I think I have now ingrained it into every single one of you that you will now be thinking about it. It's like a sort of psychological trick where I've said it enough where I've forced you.
You've Darren Browned us into only remembering that about this episode. All right. Well, does anybody else have anything they want to add about Deadeye? Okay. Well, I guess that's it from us for this week. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. And we hope you listen again next week. Bye.
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 Yeah, I
got Gliss.
I made a mistake, okay? Oh, God.